The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. Christ is speaking of the end time, the end of Satan's rule of the earth, when he said in Matthew 24 and verse 12, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." He was speaking about the fact that lawlessness, sin, would be on the increase, and it would cause the love of many, not a few, to grow cold. Christ said lawlessness, sin, would be so rampant that many would come to the point they would no longer have love or concern for others. Christ is telling us that it would be a me-first attitude, and that attitude would be expressed openly by our actions. And it seems that we're living in that day. Notice what God had to say in Jeremiah 3, verse 3. Speaking about the end time, says, "Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain. You have had a harlot's forehead. You refuse to be ashamed." Sounds up to date, doesn't it? Lawlessness is so rampant that it would make you wonder if we are ashamed of our many sins. Instead of repenting, we make excuses. It seems that we just openly display our sins, and we aren't ashamed of them, from kids up to the head of government. We have been going through the Ten Commandments in a series of programs as how we as a nation are sinning big time against God. God says sin is the transgression of the law, and is speaking of God's law. Today we want to look at the sixth commandment. You'll find that in Exodus 20 and verse 13. It says, "You shall not murder." Now some translation says, "You shall not kill," but it means murder. And this command means you shall not murder another human being. God told ancient Israel to put to death, kill murderers who carry out a planned killing, a premeditated murder, and it's only speaking of human beings. God isn't saying you shall not kill clean animals, fowls, or fish that God said is clean for food. Neither is he saying that a nation or an individual can't defend themselves. God is speaking of a mindset and an attitude that cares less about someone's life, that would kill a person just to get for self in a robbery or rape or through hatred or jealousy and a number of other things. Now we have plenty of that in our nation, and a lot of it seems to be in the family itself. What a slam to us. What a shame it is. God said put murderers to death, but we think we have a better way than God. We house them, feed them, give them recreation, medical care, and if we put one on death row, it may take 10 to 15 years to carry out that sentence. Many are put back on the street to do their damage again. So we are breaking the law of God, which is sin, by murdering. Then we sin against God's command as how to deal with such sinners. Had you ever thought about that, my friend, that we aren't living by the judgments of God that God told us to live by? Notice in Exodus 21 and verse 12, "He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death." Now that command is easy to understand, isn't it? In other words, if you just deliberately kill someone, then you are to be put to death. That's what God said. Notice Exodus 21 beginning in verse 1 here. "Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them." God was speaking to ancient Israel, our forefathers. He was telling them how to render justice, how to treat people that broke his laws, and how to treat people that live by his laws. In other words, how to be and to remain a just nation and to render justice. Oh, that we would do that today. It would be a different nation. He warned them not to pervert justice. Well, is any of that going on in our land today? God set a law in motion of reaping what you sow, and God wants everyone to learn that lesson, and he will see to it that they do. Yes, God will see to it that everyone learns a lesson that you reap what you sow, and that your own way comes back upon your own head. Exodus 21, going on here, beginning in verse 13, "But if he did not lie in wait," that is, God is speaking about someone that murdered someone accidentally, "but God delivered him into his hand, then he will appoint for you a place where he may flee." Now notice verse 14. But if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. In other words, there would be no excuse, there would be no life extension for someone that just deliberately murdered someone. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Well, that isn't carried out either, is it? He who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. Now, what do we do with rapists that kidnap little girls and take them out and rape them and kill them? What do we do with them? You might want to ask yourself that. You might want to ask, are we a nation that tries to carry out true justice? Verse 17, and he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Well, we just did a broadcast on honor your mother and your father. Well, do we do that today? Well, hopefully most of us do. God is speaking of the letter of the law, which is still in effect today. And if we would live by it, it would be a much better place to live. Yes, it would be a much better world. When God says in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5, where you'll find the Ten Commandments in their codified form, you shall not kill or murder, he is speaking of a premeditated, on purpose, from hatred or trying to hide your own sins. He isn't saying that you can't kill in time of war or that you can't defend yourself. God commanded Israel to put to death rapists, kidnappers, murderers, sorcerers, idolaters, anyone that curses their father or their mother. Now, if everyone had from the time of Adam and Eve obeyed God's law, then there would be no wars, no killing, no murders, or any other evil. Now, that would be a good world to live in, wouldn't it? And that world is coming, my friends, but it won't get here until Christ returns and begins to teach and educate people to live that way and to enforce his laws. God has allotted 6,000 years, at least 6,000 years, for mankind to learn that his way doesn't pay. And we are going to learn that lesson. We haven't learned it yet because we haven't repented, but we will. The time is coming when we will. Now, you'd be well ahead of the game if you would learn that lesson early in life and repent and turn to God. You would have a much better life. You can be guilty of murder by hating someone. Notice what Christ had to say or inspired John to write in 1 John 3, beginning in verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. In other words, he that isn't traveling and learning the way of give and the way of love, they are still abiding in a dark age, in a dark world, where they don't understand God's world and God's way and the way that it should be. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Now that's plain language, isn't it? Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And your brother can be anyone, my friends. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In other words, that's something, that's an attitude, that's a mindset, the way of get, that has to be changed. That way has to be changed to a way of give and to a way of love. John is speaking about the spirit of the law, that if you hate someone, you are breaking the sixth commandment. You are guilty of murder. That's the spirit of the law. No, Christ didn't do away with the law. He fulfilled it and he magnified the law. And this is part of it here. He magnified the sixth commandment here. If you hate someone, you are guilty of murder. Well, the truth is, we have and are still sinning big time by breaking God's laws, statutes, and judgments. And God promised curses for doing so. Well, where are we? Are we blessed or are we cursed? Are we obeying God or disobeying God? Now, that's pretty easy to figure out, isn't it? When you look around, do you see blessings coming upon our nation, upon you as an individual, or upon your friends and your neighbors? How many murderers do we have in our land? How many hate others? And I ask again, are we blessed? You see, God is talking about a mindset. God is talking about an attitude. And it's either a mindset and an attitude of the way of love, concern for others, or get hatred, selfishness, lust, and greed, a me-first attitude. And you might want to ask yourself, what kind of an attitude am I in? What kind of a mindset do I have? Am I concerned about others, or am I totally engrossed and concerned about me, a me-first attitude? Christ said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if we did that, we would be fulfilling the last six commandments. And that's what Christ said, do. That's what Christ said, would be fulfilling the last six commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. We would not dishonor parents or the elderly or anyone else. We would not be murdering, killing others if we would keep the fifth and the sixth commandments. What a difference that would make. But there's four more to keep, and we will continue to look at them in future programs. But we hope you will stay tuned, and we hope you will have your ears open and your mind open to understand the world that could be and the world that God intended to be from the foundation of the earth, from the creation of Adam and Eve. And if you would like to have a better life and help make a better community, then you need to repent of your sins as God in Christ has commanded you to. Then we invite you to request our free articles. What do you mean, repent, and the free article? Why does mankind suffer? And you need those articles, my friends. You need to read those articles and think about them and take your Bible and study your Bible as you read those articles. Why does mankind suffer? And what do you mean, repent? They are free of charge, just like all of our other literature and books and booklets that we offer by the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day. So if you would like more understanding, just call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, Seventh Day, at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com, or log on to our website, www.thewayitoughttobe.org, to order your free literature and to listen to pre-recorded programs. So we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program and continue to order your literature that we offer. It's all free of charge. No one will call on you. You won't hear from us unless you invite it. This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today. And we invite you to keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program on this station daily and on others weekly, depending on where you live. Have a good day, my friends, and may God help you to turn and repent and learn to live God's way.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org, or call us at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.